They're from the top.
All right, welcome back to the Press Play Podcast, the only podcast that will say unequivocally that the Green Ranger is the best Ranger. My name is Seth.
I mean, he was definitely a legend. Can we say that? I mean, I don't want to take anything away from him. I mean, he wasn't my favorite when I was a kid. I loved the Blue Ranger, but, you know, that's just me. I'm Ian.
I'll let y'all duke that out because I never watched the Power Rangers. That was a little after my time. I'm Dasher.
It should have been after Seth's time. How he knows that is beyond me. He must have been watching it way past his when he should have been.
Yeah, I kind of was. It's okay, though.
That's fine.
That's fine. We don't pass judgment here.
Exactly. It'd be disappointing it'd be disappointing if at least some of us watched Power Rangers way past we were supposed to, because we're nerds and we do that kind of thing.
That's really sad that he died the way he did. He took his own life, and yeah, it sucks.
I had no idea.
He died yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, R.I.P.
The age of 49. Yeah, that was a sad day. My girlfriend will tell you, she's like, I sat on the couch after just waking up. It's one of the first things I see. I went and go put my Power Ranger robe on because she got it for me for Christmas. And I'm like, I'm just going to sit in this robe for a while. Just leave me alone.
Well, today, we're going to be talking about Power Rangers. We are instead going to be talking about Guillermo del Toro's Pan's Labyrinth. And, neither one of you had seen this, right?
I have not.
Oh, I had seen it. I had seen it once.
Well, as per traditions, Ian?
It was okay.
Okay.
I don't really know what I was expecting. I will say this movie, like several movies we've talked about before, suffers from a bit of an identity crisis. Because there are things I really, really wish I'd gotten more of, and the biggest thing I wish I'd gotten more of is the captain, because he was the most fascinating character in this movie. Everyone else, even our main character, Ophelia, was just kind of there, in my opinion. She didn't bring anything spectacular. It was just the captain, and I'll explore more on that later, but that's my overall view. I wish there was more substance to it.
What do you think?
When I first saw this movie, and it's been several years, I bought it before I watched it, I was familiar with Del Toro's work, and what had been presented as far as what this movie was going to be was this fantasy mindfuck that was just going to be Del Toro being Del Toro. So, admittedly, I went into it with a certain expectation, and that's not at all what I got. Are there fantasy elements in this film? Yes, there are. But they're so very far and few between that I was very disappointed when I first watched this film because of the expectations that I had for it, which were my own fault. Of course.
I almost feel like when he almost was told to scale it back, because in Hellboy 2, there's way more fantasy elements in it, and that movie came out later, and it's wonderful to look at.
Yeah.
This one, it's so scaled back that I was disappointed. I was like, either do the fantasy element or don't, because you have a good story within the real world.
Yeah, you do. Exactly. I found the real-world aspect of this film much more interesting than the fantasy aspect. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The fantasy aspect looked really cool, but you just didn't get enough of it to be invested into it like you were real-world happening.
Just because it looked cool with the effects and the always wonderful Doug Jones, that doesn't...
Always wonderful.
That doesn't sell it for me, though. Just because something looks cool... That's just the effect of jingling keys in front of your audience. That's all you're doing. You're not giving me anything.
Which is exactly what the movie did the first time I watched it. It dangled keys in front of me, and I thought that this movie was going to be just a complete sci fantasy, and it wasn't. The first viewing I saw of it, I was very disappointed. Knowing what I'm watching the second viewing, I wasn't as disappointed, but it was still just, like you said, it left me wanting. A lot. It was just kind of... It's something that I saw.
Yeah, because it was a scatterbrained film because I either focus on one thing or focus on the other, but we're mashing these two things together, and it got to a point where I was like, okay, enough of the fantasy stuff, because the more I got to spend time with the captain, I'm like, enough of that. Let's cut back to him as often as we can, because he's selling this film for me.
Yeah, yeah. He was a cold-hearted son of a bitch, and I wanted more of him. And we actually got more of him than we got of the fantasy realm. But I think that when you switched the transition to the fantasy realm, took you out of the real life aspect of it, and vice versa. This movie suffered something that another movie we covered suffered from Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, well, that's completely different.
Very comparable to Dusk Till Dawn.
The difference being, from Dusk Till Dawn, it's two different movies split down the middle. Mm-hmm. One, the second movie starts. This one, they just keep interrupting one another.
Right.
Because, and I would love to do an actual, I want to time these people, because it almost seems like the captain was on screen more than our main character. Or at least it felt that way, because his story was definitely taking over.
The captain was essentially the main character of the film. Like you said earlier, Ophelia was in it just enough to where you can't. Her story is the main story, yes.
But here's the thing, though.
Is the main character.
We mentioned from Dusk Till Dawn, neither of these stories have anything to do with one another. Ophelia's story and the captain's story have nothing to do with one another at all. They're just happening at the same time. One hardly affects the other.
Well, she is imagining the fantasy stuff because she's traumatized. She's trying to escape, you know, in her own little mind what's happening. So what's happening to her is caused by what the captain and everybody is doing. But it would have been cooler had it been real. I remember waiting for the captain to come in there and actually see Pan then go nuts on this motherfucker and kill him. But no, it's just her imagination.
And that's the thing, though, is like, because this is just her imagination. I watched this movie from start to finish. I didn't get up to go to the bathroom because I was having a good time. And then the captain, spoiler alert, shoots Ophelia. And I'm like, if this is all in her imagination, that child is just dead. She is just dead. That is all. And they just gave you that happy ending, so yeah, I know that, but I'm like, okay, something's going to happen. Nope, she is dead. That is an ex-person.
Yep.
The happy ending that happens, it kind of feels like...
It feels extremely glued on.
For something, yeah. But I will give Del Toro this. Everything behind the camera to me is just wonderful to look at.
Oh, it's an excellently shot film. Don't get me wrong. As far as the technical standpoint is concerned, there's nothing wrong with this movie.
Yeah, the effect on Pan is, God, it's aged so well. It looks so good.
Yeah.
And it's, so and it's Mr. Mr.
We're talking about the Fawn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the
Fawn. Okay. I don't know if I ever caught if they ever said his name. I must not have been watching, because I tried. Because that's the thing. I watched the Spanish version of this, and I'm like, I can't look off, because if I look off, I'm gonna miss something because I don't speak fucking Spanish. That's why I don't like film, or I don't like sub films.
And that's another thing that kind of threw me off when I originally watched this film. I don't think there is a English version to this film. I've only ever seen it in Spanish with English subtitles. Even when I watched it last night on, I think it was Stars.
I watched it on Amazon.
I just told my TV, play Pan's Labyrinth, and like it was a Stars app. It was Spanish with English dub. I was not expecting that the first time I watched it. I don't even think that the DVD I bought back in the day had an English option. It was just straight Spanish. Which I don't mind the subtitles, but when you're not expecting it, it kind of throws you off a bit.
Because I remember when this movie hit theaters, I remember people telling me that they didn't know what they were walking into. They saw the trailer, but the trailer didn't really tell you anything. So people were walking into this movie, and they're like, wait, I have to read? I don't come to movies to read.
Yeah, the trailer, there was a certain amount of subterfuge with the trailer. Because how it was, I remember the trailer well. How it was presented was just the fantasy aspect.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But that was very, that had very little to do with the film overall.
Yeah, it's maybe a good, I wouldn't even say it's a third of the film. It's probably less, which and is it, yeah. crazy to me.
All the fantasy stuff happens after really, really intense sequences. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Del Toro put them in there as like a, okay, take a breath for a minute, and yeah. then yeah. let's explore a feel a little bit more, and then we'll go back into the crazy shit with the captain.
Yeah, because if it was happening to her, I guess it would make more sense. But a lot of the crazy shit that happens, she's not even there for.
Mm-hmm.
So, so like I'm saying, pick one and stick with it, because this movie is confusing.
But I'll tell you what, had the movie been just the captain, phenomenal.
I would have been, oh yeah.
Fine. Yeah,
had
been great.
Had the movie have been just the fantasy, fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Exactly. I almost wish he would have made two separate films. It's almost like he had two scripts that weren't they both weren't feature length,
right?
But if I add them together, I can have a movie.
I remember watching the special features. Everything about this film was intentional, from the concept to post production.
But I think it's more along the lines of like because a lot of movies back in the day used to do this, especially like Disney films, like Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Mary Poppins. They do take place during war times, and they focus more on the fantasy elements of it. It's just I like the idea of this one leaning more into the war. However, it's the fantasy doesn't pay off as much, because we don't see their world until the very end, and we see one room. We only see one room. We only ever see the fawn and the fairies and the eye thing, and I forget, and obviously the frog. Okay, we see more than I thought, but
yeah,
it's not enough. It's just not enough.
I think the problem with it is that the fantasy elements, like her quest that the fawn gives her to complete.
Yeah.
They're removed from everything else that's happening. And had those quests been about going and, like, maybe, you know, creating subterfuge for the captain and thwarting his plans, then
yeah,
it would have been a more cohesive narrative. But as it stands, they almost mix, but it's just a little bit of oil on top of the water.
And that would have been a great idea, because it's like this princess that they're talking about, if she was so pure of heart, it's like, okay, you're clearly your stepfather's an evil man. You need to help these rebels in any fantasy task that we give you. Because even though she may not understand what she's doing, the fawn could be like, listen, this will help in ways that you may not see yet. And then later on, we find out that, you know, it just happens that, oh, she put one thing in the right place, and it fucked up his entire day. Like, just something like that. But, again, and I'm trying not to sound like a broken record, it just doesn't match what is going on elsewhere. So it's just a mesh of ideas, and it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, because
graphically, this was a great film. Don't get me wrong. I do not disagree with what happened behind the camera. I'm just saying this is a piss-poor told story.
Because let's be honest, Aphelia being the main story, she has little to she has absolutely nothing to do with the captain's downfall. That was
the maid had more to do in this movie, I felt like, than Aphelia. I'm just like, who? Okay, this woman's just probably going to be the maid, and, you know, she might help her. What? No, she's off helping the rebels. She doesn't see Aphelia for like three quarters of the movie.
Yeah,
and then she comes back after her mom dies, which, okay, that happened too. Jesus Christ, that just happened. That had no reason to just happen, but it happened anyway.
They set that up from the moment that you meet the mother for the first time in the car ride at the beginning of the film.
Oh, you mean she's sick like every other pregnant woman I've ever seen on planet Earth?
Yeah, but you just knew when you first saw the mom that she was going to die at some point in time of this film. That was just
going, oh, that was a given.
That was going to happen.
Well, I mean, it's a movie. You're not allowed to have parents in movies if your star is the young child.
And speaking of the mom, the daughter when what's her name? The maid.
I don't fucking remember.
Mercedes. Yeah. When she asks Ophelia about her mother, and then she uses a term for being pregnant that I will use from here on out and never say you're pregnant again. She says she is sick with baby. And I love that so goddamn much.
I love it. Yeah. You're sick with baby.
Yeah. It was great. It really was great.
I don't know if that was a translation mix-up or if that's what she really said, but I say it's amazing.
I think that's what she really said. That's what I want to believe, and that's what I'm going to have in my mind because I'm using that phrase from henceforth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, I out loud cursed at this film at one point because as much as I love the captain, when Mercedes slit his face and made him half Joker,
mm-hmm.
like... 5 minutes later, he's standing in front of the mirror, and there's just that gash. No blood, no scarring, no healing going on, and I'm just like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Your mouth will be a fucking wreck.
Yeah.
That was definitely a stretch, for sure.
Yeah, I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah.
The visual of him actually stitching it up was painful to look at.
And that's the thing, because I was expecting them to do what they've been doing this whole film, because they don't show a lot of graphic material. Like, when the guy got his leg sawed off, it cut right when he made that first... Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to have to sit here and watch this. They cut away at the right moments, but they made you sit and watch all that. And I'm like, okay, all right, thank you for that.
Well, the first time you see the captain kill somebody is when, he beats that dude in the face with that bottle.
Awesome.
The reason why the captain was a cold hearted son of a bitch, he was all about head trauma. Whether it be beating somebody's face in, literally their face in with a bottle, or shooting somebody in the head with his gun 5 times after they were dead. This motherfucker was all about head trauma, and I respected it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that he just hated himself, especially that when he's shaving, he takes the razor and puts the mirror around his neck and
But at the same time, the other forces were afraid of him, and not just him, because they're like, we should just take him out. Well, if you do, they're just going to bring somebody in just as bad as he is, if not worse. So he was definitely feared, and I get it. I was almost to a point where I'm wondering, does Ophelia's mom, she has to be terrified of this man, because every time she has to make an excuse for him, she's like, he's been really good to us. It's all like, that's battered women syndrome if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, she definitely had a little bit of Stockholm syndrome going on there, or something like that, because Florence Nightingale syndrome, because that's a completely different thing altogether. But she definitely feared him, yet respected him all at the same time, to the point where he's not your father, but you're going to call him your father because he's been good to us. So, yeah. But all
and,
in all,
and
you
I
know,
mean, just, no wonder the kid was fucked up.
Yeah, and see, we were talking more about this one character because he was the most fascinating part of it. And
he really was.
And it had nothing to do with anything, or at least the side story. This is the best part, so it's going to demand most of our time.
If they had the fawn and the fairies, they made them look like nature. They explained that they pretty much are nature. So had it been the captain... He's destroying the home, or he's destroying the nature around the labyrinth, and that's the Fawn's ploy, is to get Ophelia to stop him. That would have been so much better.
And by the way, not one person in this entire film besides Ophelia even acknowledges that there's a labyrinth right out back.
Yeah, not one.
No one talks about it. Yeah. Like, maybe if the enemy comes, we retreat, and we retreat into the labyrinth, and we could we know the way, and they'll be trapped. It's a great tool for war if you can afford it.
And yeah, they start invading the labyrinth, and the Fawn's getting pissed off, and there's so much that could have been done with this to make them more cohesive as a story.
I think this scene in the movie that sold the captain for El Capitan for me, because up to this point that I'm fixing to discuss, he was just kind of there. He's the bad guy. He's pretty decent little bad guy, but I'm not overly impressed. It's when he had the when he captured the rebel with the stuttering issue.
And he's like, that was brutal.
He's like, if you can count to three without stuttering, I'll let you go. And the guy got to three and just
he fucked
couldn't
it up.
Do it because anybody who's ever and I've never had a stuttering problem, but I imagine anybody who ever has, three is probably your worst fucking enemy when you're trying to speak. That was just like ruthless.
But at the same time, that was the moment where I was like, I respect this motherfucker.
Yeah,
like because on a list of best villains, like I'm surprised this guy got lost in the translation somewhere because we should be talking about him more. He's that guy was 50. Ruthless.
He's definitely top 50. Yeah,
but I think one of the moments that made me go, okay, this guy is terrifying. It's after he beat the guy with the bottle, and then he points the gun at his dad, and the soldier that was holding him just steps out of the way without thinking. He's like, he knew what this guy's about, and he knew not to be behind the guy without even having to be told to move.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, he's done this before.
And then he's going through the guy's bags, and the guy the whole time saying, we was just hunting rabbits. We was just hunting rabbits.
And he had rabbits anyway, yeah.
And he had rabbits anyway, and he looks at his subordinate, he's like, next time make sure you vet these motherfuckers better before you come to me.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, that's the whole... He killed them because he was annoyed.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yes. Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yep. Yep.
You see how much time we're spending on this one character when there's a whole movie?
Yeah.
It means we have a problem.
It's because he is the best part, and he should have been the cornerstone or the foundation of 100%. The script.
He should have been the
best. Not even the main focus. Like he's just the opposing force that we have to get past. Because you can focus more on Ophelia and Mercedes trying to just get away from him. Mm-hmm. But no, we have to go into fucking Spanish Narnia every 20 minutes.
That's probably the most accurate description of this film I have ever heard. Spanish Narnia. But like we all said earlier, I would have loved to have seen a film with just the captain being the antagonist and no fantasy element whatsoever. And I would also love to have seen a film based on just the fantasy element and no captain whatsoever. I think either one of those full-length features would be great to watch and great to talk about. But that's not what we got.
This movie had the potential to be a freaking fantasy masterpiece.
Well, but, depending on
or a war epic,
consider that.
Or a war epic. But since the two ideas, they don't quite collide and they don't quite mesh. They just kind of bump into each other when they're walking down the hallway.
Pretty much.
And so it just brings it down to it's a decent movie. I like it just fine, and I'll watch it every few years.
I might watch it again.
Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never seen this film, just know that, yes, we might be critiquing it because that's what we do here at Press Play Podcast. Just because a movie comes with high acclaim doesn't mean we're going to suck its cock because we don't do that. We don't suck cock, for one.
I'm not saying that this is a bad. None of us are saying this is a bad movie.
No, I'm just saying it's a scatterbrained film.
Yeah,
this movie
it doesn't have a focus. It doesn't have a driving direction.
But in the same breath, this movie owned pretty much every award show it was presented at. Del Toro got fat paid off this film. And it's got a lot of hardware on his fucking bookshelf now because of it. So it racked up trophies.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Everybody out there that's clicked on the episode just because they love this movie, I want to ask you a very important question. Have you seen it lately? I want you to take everything that we just said to heart and ask yourself, honestly, when was the last time I saw this? You might have only seen it once like Dasher and walked away thinking it was the greatest movie ever. Try again.
Well, Dasher didn't think that when he saw it.
I know, but other people might have. Like, I saw it once and it was fantastic. I know. Have you seen it lately? Why would I need to see it again? Mm-hmm. Because you need to take what we just said and think about it logically.
Now,
everybody, too, is the cynical, analytical assholes we are.
That's very true.
Don't get me wrong. I've ignored a lot of things about movies that I love. Just because the things that... But there are other people that are like, yeah, but this was wrong. I don't care. I choose to like it.
I had forgotten how old this movie was. This movie came out in, like, what, the mid-2000s? Like,
I believe I was in high school when this came out.
Yeah, five or six, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I forgot it was that old.
But yeah, because Hellboy 2 came out after this.
Yeah, visually, it has aged very well. Very well.
There's only one effect that looks kind of dated, and that's the frog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah, that's true.
That's really a nitpick. That's a compositing issue, and I'm taking into account the time that this was made.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
the product of the time.
Also want to point out, like, there's really no... I mean, depending on what you choose to believe the ending, sure, let's assume that she goes and takes the place of the princess or whatever. What does that do? Like, princess of what? And, like, what's the pot of gold at the end of this adventure? Like, you're doing it because some tree monster told you to do it, and you don't, and you're never told why, or what benefits that, or how that benefits you.
Yeah, you are.
With the exception of maybe being an immortal, but okay, but what if this world sucks?
He basically told her from the get-go that she's like basically a reincarnated princess, and this is her destiny to fulfill this quest and join her father in, like you said, Spanish Narnia and live happily ever after in this fantasy world.
And you're not, but she's not shown what this world looks like. She's just taking it on faith that this wood monster is telling her to do this. Yeah. There's no paintings, there's no pictures, there's no dream sequences, there's Jack, and there's shit.
Yep.
Sounds like the beginning of several religions.
And she doesn't follow directions very well because the Fawn specifically told her, you're going to meet this monster and there's going to be a bountiful feast. Don't eat shit. Do not touch the food. And what's the first thing the little bitch does? Grabs two grapes and throws them in her fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Biggest grapes I've ever seen.
She does some pretty stupid shit. Don't get your dress dirty. What does she do? Goes to a muddy fucking tree, hangs it up on a root when a fucking rainstorm is about to start, and then comes back all fucked up.
Yeah, but that wasn't the whole being dirty thing. Didn't have anything to do with the quest. That's just what her parents probably fucking told her. But the grape thing, it's like the Fawn throws a fit. To which I ask you, okay, but she got away with it. So I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Because she got the knife. She got the MacGuffin. I don't know what you're bitching about.
You get one
because,
more chance.
Because he killed three fairies.
Yeah.
He killed two.
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 Yeah, there's still one more. We're fine. And then they're in the underworld anyway, we find out. But it's like he throws this hissy fit just to come back in 20 minutes and be like, you know what? We're good. We got the thing, right? We got the thing.
I mean,
it's fine.
This was also probably the easiest paycheck Doug Jones has ever picked up because he's on screen for literally 5 minutes and probably got paid six figures.
But
shout out to that man.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't make his best work. Because
that monster still looks fantastic. Though.
Oh, it still looks fantastic, but I still always will be partial to Abe Sapien.
Of course, yeah. Well, I mean, overall, I give this movie... I'm going to give it a B-.
C+.
Yeah, sure.
I give it a solid B. It's just short of becoming... one of my favorite movies ever. It's just short of it. And
There was one or two things this movie had done differently. This would have been my this movie had potential to be one of mine as well. Don't get me wrong, because this movie could be fantastic if it would just listen to me.
Yeah.
If it would just listen to itself, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just stay on the straight and narrow that you started at the beginning of this film, and stop zigzagging. This movie is called Pan's Labyrinth. I think that's a metaphor for how the fucking tone of the movie keeps going. Anyway, anything else?
No.
I'm good.
All right, Dasher, what do you got for us next week?
Wakanda Forever.
Okay. Oh man, I'm hearing a lot of things.
I haven't heard shit about this film. I purposely tried to avoid as much about this film. I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen a lot of response to it online, which kind of tells me...
That should scare you.
Well, it doesn't scare me, but it does kind of tell me something, because when the original Black Panther came out, that shit was plastered all over social media. This one I have not seen a lot of.
I think it's usually the fact that this is just my theory. If you don't hear anything about a film, that usually means it's just okay.
Yeah.
If it's great, it's great. If it's bad, the internet trashes it. If you don't hear anything, people are just like, "Oh yeah, I did see that."
Yeah, it's just kind of something I saw. Well, we'll find out next week, so stay tuned.
All right, and then after that, we're going to review Labyrinth, which is a suggestion that Seth's fiance made, and I was like, I've been waiting for years to tear this film apart. I can't wait.
All right.
But I haven't seen it in a while, so maybe I'll have some brand new things to rip apart.
Yeah,
or maybe I'll like it this time.
Like David Bowie's camel toe.
Oh, no, that's always going to be there in my mind. Like, oh, God, that's... I go to bed thinking about that. Get out!
It's almost as recognizable as Cameo's red codpiece, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just right there in your headspace. It damn near jumped off the screen at you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then after that, Ian, I'm gonna have a Christmas movie for us. We're gonna watch Gremlins. Okay.
Oh boy. I need to go watch that again.
Just the first one.
I don't think I've seen Gremlins in like 15 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. That's just one of those movies that no matter how long it's been since you've seen it, you remember everything about it.
Yeah, I surprisingly don't. I remember a few things, but not a lot.
I haven't seen it lately as an adult, but God, we wore that movie out when we were kids.
Oh God, yes, yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
No, I've only seen it once. I don't remember if there's a reason I haven't seen it since. Maybe I didn't like it, or maybe it just fell off my radar. We'll see. We'll see if I can remember.
All right.
And then we'll. So we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. It's been real.
It's been fun.
It's been real fun.
Bye.
Bye-bye.